on TV called The Lone Ranger. And when they got through capturing the outlaw, the Lone Ranger and Tonto would always... Now, that wasn't the days when Tonto looked like a game rooster. The Lone Ranger would always go away and they'd end the program saying, "Who was that masked man?" "So that you'll know who I am?" "Good morning. Oh, my glasses. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord. I've really missed it." Good to see you. I hope that you've had a good days. Lord is so good to us. And I hope and pray that the Lord will visit us today. You know, we come out and we are in fellowship, and I like to be around people I'm in fellowship with, but we come out to worship God and to seek to catch up for the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Like Brother Chris said, you can be saved and know it, but you got days when you don't feel too good. There'll be days when you don't feel too close to the Lord. I imagine I have them days. I suppose you do. But also, you know, we want to really do our best to put forth the gospel of Jesus Christ. In our dispensation, nobody goes to heaven without trusting Jesus Christ. He's the only one. He's the only one. And I know the devil has got us in a mindset in America where most people, they think about heaven and hell, and they think, and the devil will instill these thoughts because he did me. When I was lost, he'd say, "Well, you haven't been so bad. After all, God's a good God. And if he's a good God, he'll let you in." Now, the devil has you to reason things like that, but that's not what the Bible says. Now, the Bible is the only way that people in our dispensation is going to hear from God. Now, I know he leads by the Spirit. I understand that. But I want you to remember one thing. The Holy Ghost always leads according to the Scripture. You never, these people say, "Oh, I got a new message for God." Don't you believe that a minute. Don't you believe that a minute. Well, this morning I'm going to fool you a little bit. I'm still in the book of Acts, but I want to go to Acts chapter 17. Oh yeah, I'm out of order a little bit. Acts chapter 17. And I want to look at a few verses here for our Sunday school today. And I want to try to present something that that might be, I hope, will be in order, that might help us to understand some things about the Lord that we might not otherwise understand. And I hope that it'll be a blessing to you. And I believe the Lord's put this on my heart. So let's see. I'm praying that He'll bless the words, not only that I speak in my memory, but He'll bless the hearts that's here to understand what we're trying to say. Acts 17, verse 22. "And Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God made the world and all things therein, seeing he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation, that they," now listen to this one, "that they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think of the Godhead as like unto gold or silver or stone graven by man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. I want to talk just a few minutes about these verses that we've read here. Now, you Bible readers know that Paul is in Greece, and he has come to Athens. And Athens at that time was one of the greatest centers of false worship that there was. They had all kind of gods. If you had any studies at all in ancient history, you understand they had God of thunder, and they had God of war, and they had God of love, and they had all kind of gods. And so in order for people at that place to say, well, I really want to please God, they just went down there and worshiped all of them. But as Paul passed by, he said, I beheld on your one altar, which is the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. Now the first verse he said here today, he says, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. Can I say this to you? False religion today is nothing but superstitions. Yeah. It's superstitions. I mean you super. They suppose, now they don't get it out of the Bible, but they suppose that they can live good enough to go to heaven. See, and I know, I've been out there enough to understand the philosophy today, as I've already said, I hadn't done anything very mean, I hadn't killed anybody, I hadn't robbed a bank, so God's going to let me in. But what they fail to remember is that God looked down upon man and he declared, there's none good, no, not one. And he also declared, as we read in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, there's none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Yes. Now that means that all of us are depraved when God looks at you. Now you're not depraved when your daddy looks at you or when your mama looks at you. You're pretty good people. But when God looks down upon us, you know, he sees a sinner. Now here's the problem. People do not understand how holy God is. Can I say this to you? God is so holy that he does not put up with one sin. Can I say that? Can I remind you of Adam and Eve? Adam and Eve were in the garden. I don't know how long they stayed there. I suppose they stayed there several hundred years, but I don't know that. You know. And it reads kind of like they stayed in there a week, and that's okay, that's not a lesson today. But what was their sin? And you know, the world out there, they read that and say, oh, y'all just thank God throwed him out for stealing an apple. That was not the problem. The problem was rebellion. The problem was rebellion. And that's the problem you and I have. See? From our grandfather Adam, through your parents, we received a nature that is rebellion against God. And that's what the devil wants you to believe. He wants you to believe that God's a good God and he'll let you in. But that's not what the Bible says. Right. What did our scripture say over here? In verse 27, 26, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Did you know God has got the bounds of man's habitation. I might say this, and God did not create Mars for man to live on. He did not create the moon for man to live on. And all this stuff you're hearing about these young people that's thinking that you and I is going to use too much fossil fuel and going to use up all oxygen, and finally the earth is going to burn up with us here, that's folly. Right. Now the earth is going to burn up, but not while we're here.
Amen.
Not while we're here, it's not going to burn up. Because God's appointed the times. See, God's in charge of time. Now I'm not, and you're not. But there's a time appointed. Now what's the next verse say? That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not very far from every one of us. That verse has got a whole lot to say in it. First of all, you cannot make deals with God. I mean, normally, when people come to church and they get to hearing about they need a Savior, they get to thinking about, what do I say? What do I say? What do I say? And I say this to you, God reads heart language. God reads heart language. Now, he understands what my tongue says, too. I don't know that. But we need to feel after him.
Right.
Feel after him. That's why the Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto salvation, and with the mouth confession is made unto righteousness. I believe it's the other way around. But anyway, God, it's the heart of man that God is concerned with. See? You are what your heart is.
Right.
Now, the heart that the Bible's talking about here in Romans is not that little organ in your body that goes bump, 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 bump. It is the essence of your inward person. It is the desires of your heart. It is the things that cause you to seek what you seek for. That's your heart when God looks at you. And yes, he understands you've got the organ in there, and he understands it has to beat to keep you alive. He knows that. But what are your passions? What do you really want on the inside? Most people make a grave mistake there. A lot of people think they've got God fooled. They're outwardly, they're Christians. But what is your heart reveal? What does your heart reveal? Now, what did the man of God here say? That we should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not very far, not far from every one of us. You see, getting saved has got to be the spiritual man awakened. One preacher preached it like this. Lost people, their conscience is dead. And God awakens that conscience. And he lets you know, God lets you know in your heart that you're not right with God. See? And most people, it comes on them with an uneasy feeling. See? And if you continue to go to church, it will grow. And it will grow. And finally you become miserable. And I hope if anybody's here and you've got those feelings, I hope you won't try to throw it away.
Right.
I hope you'll pray, God, increase it. Can I say something to you? Now you listen to this. If you don't hear anything else I say, if the Holy Spirit departs from you and you're a lost person, you're gone without hope. Because it takes the Spirit of God to awaken your conscience to how lost you are. See, we don't know. I mean, when you were growing up, I was raised in church, and you know, people say, when I was 14 or 15, are you lost? Well, they say I am. See, I wasn't convinced. But when I got under old-time Holy Ghost conviction, he convinced me that I was a sinner. And when he got me convinced, then I wanted a Savior. I wanted somebody that could help me. Only then, folks, Only then did I call on him out of a burdened heart. And only then did he give me rest to a burdened heart. See, happily feel after him. See, I don't believe people today is feeling after God. They just kind of live by the calendar. So, well, it's been a good day. Can I say this to you? America is so blessed. America is so blessed. I'm sure, even though we've got a virus crisis, that all of you have been going to Crest or Walmart or wherever you buy your groceries. And I'm sure that you can fill your grocery basket full. Did you think that just happened? You know what that is? I was thinking about that this morning. Crest and Walmart and wherever you go, that's Gentile manna gathering place. You think about that. You think about that. Hey, I know you take it for granted. I take it for granted more than I should. But that's God doing that. Is God doing that everywhere? Go to North Korea and try to buy you a box of Wheaties. You see what I mean? So God is blessing us.
Yes,
sir. And just because God's feeding us and because God's clothing us is no sign that everybody's saved.
Right.
What it's a sign of is God's grace is still pointing toward us. So the Bible here says that they, what the writer here is saying, what the Apostle Paul is saying, God commands people everywhere to repent. That's not a suggestion. It's not a suggestion. God commands men everywhere to repent. What is repentance? What is repentance? Repentance is with a broken heart, with a serious heart towards God. Now, when you get that state, you ain't worrying about mom and daddy, you ain't worrying about the preacher, you ain't worrying about the deacon. You're worrying about where I stand with God. And I hope God will put you there if you need it. See? So that we might feel after him. Feel. Somebody said, well, salvation is not a feeling. No, you can get a feeling. You can have a feel-good feeling and not get saved. But you can't get saved without having a feel-good feeling. If you're burdened with sin and it's got you bore down and you call on the Lord and you get relief, you know it. You know it. People next to you may not know it, but you know it. And so he said here, why should we do that? And the times of this ignorance God winked at. Now, some people misread that verse. God did not ever wink at sin. God winked at ignorance. Everybody on board with that? In other words, praise God. When you's lost, God said, that old boy is ignorant. He don't know yet. But right down the road here, I'm going to visit him. Right down the road, I'm going to visit him. You see? And so we were ignorant. I say this without fear of contradiction. People that have been really immoral, and I don't glory in that, I don't tell deeds, and I don't think preachers or deacons ought to tell it.
Right.
Just say we were bad. And God said we were bad. But you think about that. How bad we were, and God forgot what you used to be? Did you know this Bible said, if you trust in him, he will put your sins in a bag and seal them up and put them to his back, and God don't ever turn around. I believe it's Hosea says he put our sins in the sea of forgetfulness.
Right.
Never to remember them against us anymore.
Man.
You like that?
I like it.
I mean, Let me do the other side of that. What if you get the end of life and God does remember your sins? Let me say this to you very carefully. If you do that, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. See? And I go to the book of Revelation and I read, and Brother Chris and I have had a conversation or two this week on the tribulation. And God, you know, there's another side of God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that... Now, God so loved the world, what did he do? He said, well, there ain't nothing I can do about it. I'm just washing my hands. No. He sent his only son. Now his son was God. Yeah, he took on an earthly body. When if you were to pinch him real hard, he'd feel it. But he was God. And God sent him. And Jesus said all through his writings in the Gospels, he that sent me, Father has sent me to do his will. In chapter 17 of John, he says, O Father, I have done thy will. And the Father's reaction on a couple places was, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. Amen. Did you know God never did say that about a human? Hello? My beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. Now, what I'm driving at is Jesus Christ came to save sinners. He did not come to save himself. He came to save me and you. And without that, we'd never get to God. Paul told Timothy, there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And every man in our dispensation has got to have that if you see the gate, the pearly gates. Every man's got to have it. There's no way around it. All right? Why should we do that? Because times of this ignorance God winked at. But now commandeth all men everywhere. That's in America. That's in Africa. That's in Europe. That's in Asia. Everywhere. To repent. Repent means you admit to God. You know, I think one of the biggest blocks of people getting saved is they never come to the point to convince their self that they're really lost. I had a problem with that. Really, you know, well, people tell me I'm lost. People tell me I'm lost. Are you lost? As far as God's concerned. See? Now, lost means being without God. Lost means you don't know your way. How do you go to heaven? How do you go to heaven? Most people who've been in church say, well, you just go up. Wait a minute. What did Jesus tell the people in John? He says, the way you don't know. You don't know the way to heaven. See? I am the way. He's the way. Now I want to say this to you. There's none other name given among men. None. Whereby we must be saved.
Right.
See what I mean? And so, I saw a man one time and he had a ring on. And his thoughts were, I'm a pretty good feller, see this?
Yeah.
And it made me think of what a preacher said. I didn't tell this person because I was trying to be gentle with him. But he said, pretty good men go to hell. Now that's not slapping anybody down. And that's not being critical. But it's trying to let people understand it's got the rings on and other problems in being religion, that won't get the job done. See? And I've tried to say this morning, I hope I've got it done. God searches men's hearts. Christians, God searches mine and your hearts. That's right. God searches everybody's heart. See? He knows the end from the beginning. I don't know the end from the beginning. See? Was it James that said life is like a vapor? It appeareth a little while and vanisheth away. You see, that's what everybody is. You're not here for 1,000 years. Not yet. We're here for a little while, then we vanish away. All right? So we ought not to think of God like unto gold or silver or stone or graven by art of man's devices. See, that's what men think of today. They think that if there is a God, His only purpose is to do me good. And let me say this very carefully. God does do people good. He does do people good. But except you repent, you'll always likewise perish. That's to me and my folks and you and your folks. So we say here, now why should we repent? Verse 31, because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge what? The world in righteousness. How? By that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised Him from the dead. Who did He raise from the dead? Say, well, He raised Lazarus. Yeah, but Lazarus was raised to temporary life. Who did He raise from the dead to everlasting life? Jesus said in Revelations, He said, I am He that was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. That's who He raised from the dead. And do you know what? You know what Jesus' job, one of His jobs today is to be a high priest for you and I. He's on the right hand of God making intercession for saints. See, now if you're lost, He's not making intercession for you yet. But He wants to. See, you take Brother Tim, Brother Chris, they make a mistake, and God knows it. And I don't know, the Bible don't say this, but I think this is the way it works. The Lord Jesus Christ is on the right hand of God the Father, and the Bible says three times there in the Bible to make intercession for us. Why do we need intercessions made for us? Huh? Well, I'm saved. I know, and God knows it. But He knows every thought that me and you have. It's contrary to His will. And that offends Him. Hello? Oh, yeah, that's how serious God is. This religion stuff with God is not a joke. Had a bad thought. So God says, Glenn Pollard had a bad thought. And I don't like it. Jesus says, he wants to repent. And the Lord says, I'm not talking to him right now. And Jesus, I think He says, well, here's where I paid for him. And I think God the Father says, I'll accept that if he repents as a Christian. You know, Christians need to repent too.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. Don't leave me here. But not repent to salvation, but repent in service. So now you know what that denotes really overall? That denotes our infirmities. See, that denotes that in my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. You see, but my flesh is not saved. Your flesh is not saved. See? Jesus Christ died for the souls of men. Now the soul is where your being is, your inward being. And now your flesh is going to die and go to, as the Bible calls it, go to corruption. That means you're going to turn back to ashes. Well, now what God told Adam? Dust thou art and dust thou shalt return. Yep, but not the soul. The soul of man, every soul of man is going to live somewhere in eternity.
Amen.
You see? And God wrapped your soul in flesh. But yet the flesh is what carries you where you go. Your flesh is what brings your soul and your spirit to church. And if it brings you to church, hallelujah, praise God. Because that's where you will find help from God. You say, well, can a man be saved over in his house? Yep. He can be saved on the road. He can be saved at work. He can be saved. But you can't be saved until you are under conviction. Conviction is that feeling in your heart. It says, well, you need something. Well, you need something. The devil will always shove you something like, well, I'll buy you a new car. Or I'll get you a new washing machine. See, the devil wants you not to think that way. Because the devil knows if he can get people to put it off until they call for you at the funeral home and ride you in the hearse, he's got you. See? So the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart. See, today is the day. Today is the day. And so I just want to say that I wanted to reach out today and just give this to you. I believe the Lord had it on my heart. I hope and pray that it's been a blessing to you. I'm not trying to boss anybody. I don't think I'm a big shot. I just wanted to read a few verses in God's Scripture to you that we might understand where we stand with God. Now, if you're saved, you know it. But you might be saved and not be caught up with God. If you read 1 John, first two chapters very carefully, it's about fellowship. And when you go astray as a Christian, you're out of fellowship with God. But John gives us the recipe to how to get back in fellowship. He that confesses his sins, confess. God is just and faithful to forgive us. That's Christians. And sinners too. You know, if you're just to confess your sins to God. In other words, I hope if there's anybody lost here today that you will realize you need to come to the point and say, oh God, show me where I stand before you. For I got an uneasy feeling in my breast. And I hope God will lead you and accept your repentance. Now let me say this. A lot of people thanks God, they think if they fall on their knees, God is duty bound to accept your whatever you say. That's not true. God accepts a broken and a contrite spirit. That's what God accepts. These people, I just got saved and I didn't have to do nothing but just come up to the front, or I've got people jumping up and down for me and I believe I'm saved. You better watch that. You better be sure to check right in here. Is everything okay with me and God? And God will let you know if you want to know. Now if the devil's got you deceived and, well, I'm a pretty good feller. I believe I'll make it. Well, you got to be careful with that. Because let me tell you something. When you stay there long enough and God quits them feelings in your heart, I believe the Bible teaches that you've had it. It's over for you. But as long as God is calling you, as long as God is bothering you, you got a hope. Now, I know this morning I'm through. And I know this morning that this is kind of offbeat subject this morning, but I think the Lord wanted me to say a few words along this line, and
I enjoyed it.
I hope and pray that it's been a blessing to you.
Man.
I hope you won't take it. I'm talking down to you, because I'm not. I'm just trying to relate to you what God put on my heart and a few things that's in God's Word. And God's Word is a great thing. It lets us know how we stand with God. What if you didn't have the Word of God to let you know? Somebody said, well, them people over yonder in foreign countries never has heard of God. You know, God will let them in because they're ignorant of it. That's not so. The heavens, the sun, and the stars, and the moon testify of God. See, and what did I read? all men. God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. I close in saying again, it's not a suggestion. He commanded it. Thank you.
Season of prayer just kind of jointly a little bit before our service up here in the altar. Here a little bit.
Where's your mask? Put your mask on.
Saturday night, when we went over our missions, I might have said that last Sunday. We went over our missions, and we had exactly what we needed as far as our regular monthly, and then, of course, we added to it. We've already heard back. I told the men last night, we heard back from Brother Tim McVeigh. He said he noted the extra offering, and he is appreciative of it. And then when I talked to Brother Moyes the other day, I mentioned that we included a little extra for him this month, and he was appreciative of it as well. So I know that it's a blessing to these men. Also, just while we're kind of going to have a season of prayer again, for those in the pew or just some of my, if you come up here, have the men come up here, ladies say in the pew. But, we'll pray here in a minute. But I want you to pray about this. I mentioned men Wednesday night, last night as well. Brother Moyes had mentioned going out to Wyoming and was, you know, going to make a road trip of it. I don't think he's going to Wyoming now. But originally, when we was talking a couple times ago, he was invited to go to Wyoming, and he's realizing the motive of the fact the preacher out in Wyoming is he's not necessarily wanting for a meeting. He's pretty much wanting him to come out and try to see if he'll get the itch to come out and maybe plant churches out of that church in the Wyoming area after fellowship. And also he's got a son that's praying about a godly girl, and Brother Moy's got three godly girls. So, I think Brother Moy's seen through some of the motives there, and so he's probably not going to go to Wyoming anyway. But originally the discussion was he's going to go to Wyoming and just kind of maybe visit some men that he knew on his way out and on his way back as well. Kind of just a little trip for us. All this hit and one thing another. He doesn't want to go out in August because of Island Ford's meeting. Anyway, all that being said, I asked him the second time he called when this stuff would take place. And he said probably in May, because he said that he was just told to pick a date. And so that being said, we was talking. And I got my phone off. So, in light of us not having our Jubilee service in April this month, then he originally was talking about the end of May being available to come out, but then he called back and he said he was wrong on his dates. It'd be available. He'd be available the 15th, 16th, and 17th, because I mentioned something, you know, that if he did travel to Wyoming, that we might have him come by and preach. And then, so he said to him, this is all about if it's God's will. And of course, as things are opening up, one thing or another, I've mentioned it to men to pray about maybe having him come by on Friday the 16th, 15th,
And then the 16th, Saturday the 16th, and then Sunday the 17th of May. It's the Friday after Mother's Day, so it's the Sunday after Mother's Day. And just kind of having a little mini meeting with him.